be here tonight. And I'm thankful to see the ones that came out tonight. And I just hope and pray that we came to serve God tonight. You know, that's always been my heart's biggest desire, is to do the will of God. And you know, I'm just so thankful tonight that, as the song said, as we sung there, I'm free. I'm so thankful that I'm free here tonight. I'm thankful that I'm saved through and by the grace of God. I'm thankful that I can call myself a child of God. And I'm thankful that I have something that is real deep inside me. I'm thankful that I have something that I can feel tonight, which is salvation. You know, salvation doesn't come from no man, but it comes from God and God only. You know, as Paul was teaching, was writing to the young preacher Timothy there, he said there's one mediator between man and God, and that is the man Christ Jesus. You know, we find here today that the world tries to put man in the place where they can save, where they can tell people that they can save. And you know, that creates one too many mediators tonight. There's only one mediator for man and God, and that definitely is Jesus Christ. You know, I believe this old-time way to be true. I don't believe it just because I've been around it my whole life. I believe it because of what I experienced as a 7-year-old boy down at the Mourner's Bench of Pleasant Grove Church in Westmoreland. How the Lord reached down one Sunday morning and saved my soul. That's why I believe it the way I do. That's what makes me know that it is real. And I just want this whole world to know. And that's my desire, is for the lost to know the salvation plan that God has. I'm just so thankful tonight. If you got your Bibles and you want to follow with me, I'm going to go to the second epistle of Peter, and in the second chapter, and just pray for me that I'll just be the mouthpiece that God needs tonight. I can't do this without the Lord's help. No preacher can stand without God's help. And you know, I've experienced myself a couple of times where I get up in behind a pulpit and stand and God's not with me. I fall flat on my face, and I don't want that to happen here tonight. I just want God to have the honor and glory. But if you're there at 2 Epistle of Peter, in the second chapter in the first verse, it says, "But there were false people, prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." And I want to focus on that second verse, as it says, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways." If we look in Webster's 1828 dictionary, the word pernicious means destructive. We find, especially in the world that we live in today, that there is many false doctrines going on and being taught and about. People want to say that you can accept Christ, that you can be baptized for to be saved, and all this other stuff. But I believe that the Bible truly points out that it is heartfelt salvation, and that it is salvation that only God can give. But now, what I want to focus on just for a few moments of time, Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount that ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill, it cannot be hid. You know, us as the church of the true and living God, us as His people, we need to go forth in this world and shine as the lights that He would have us to be. Follow in following within His path. You know, Jeremiah was speaking to the people of Israel there, and he told them, he said, stand, seek, and ask for the old paths, for there's no other way to go therein. You know, that's especially true here tonight. There is no other way except the old-timey way. We call it the old-timey way, where you get down on your knees and bow down to an almighty God with a humble heart. We find in the 18th chapter of Luke how there was two people who went to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and one a publican. And I'm going to paraphrase this, but the Pharisee stood up, he looked into heaven, and he said, God, I thank you. I thank you. He said, I've done all these good works and all these marvelous things, and I thank you that I'm not even as this publican. And then there was the publican who wouldn't even look up at the ceiling, lift his eyes toward heaven. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. A sinner. You know, there's only two ways that we can pray today. Two ways that we can go to God. Sometimes we go to Him with that proud heart and that proud look, just like that Pharisee. But I believe true prayer is being humbled in the heart. And true prayer is being like that publican, knowing that you're so weak and you can't do nothing without God's help. You know, I had to get myself in that shape as a 7-year-old boy. I had to get myself in that shape. You know, I believe that when God pricks the sinner's heart, there is something, we call it the conviction power of God. In the 116th division of Psalm, the psalmist tells us, you know, some say that David wrote it. Some say David didn't write it. I'm going to tell you this, it don't matter who wrote it. Because it tells us, I felt the pains of hell get hold upon me, and I found trouble and sorrow. You know, that's exactly what I found when I was lost and separated from God. You know, that's exactly what I found. God let me know that if I had died, I would be doomed for a devil's hell. People want to say that what we preach, it's false doctrine. It's just a little fairy tale. From Genesis to Revelation, it's just a little fairy tale. You know, I can tell you this here tonight, and I can stand back here and proclaim it, that what we teach, it is nowhere near a fairy tale. Nowhere near a story. It is all, I believe, 100% truth. The reason why I believe that is because the Spirit bared witness to me one day. You know, I could tell you my life story. You know, down there at Hope, I could tell them my life story about each and every Sunday. And, you know, each and every Sunday that I go there, they could get tired of it. I'd get tired of just trying to tell them it. But, you know, the story of Jesus Christ, it never gets boring. It never gets tiring. Because when that Spirit comes in, honey, it makes it alive and it makes it real today. I know that there was a man who died for my sins. I know that there was a man who died for your sins. That way we might have home in heaven one day after a while. You know what salvation really is? Salvation is peace with God. I hear many people say,
many times. Well, I did not see a light, and I did not see, and I did not hear angels sing. That's perfectly fine. Because you know what I got? I got peace. You know what Paul wrote in the 5th chapter of the book of Romans? He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith. Justified in Webster's dictionary means being made holy. Justification. Being saved. We have peace. That's all that matters, is that there's peace. Now, if we look through the book of Matthew, there was a man who came out of the wilderness saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And that man was John the Baptist. And if we can look through our history, from Malachi to Matthew, from Old Testament to New Testament, there was a span, if I'm not wrong, of 400 years where there was no prophets in the land. No word of God was being spoken of. No promise was being spoken of. Then all of a sudden, in the book of Matthew, you get this John the Baptist fella out like a voice crying out of the wilderness. You know, those people went to him to be baptized, but you know what he told them first? He said, I baptize ye not, lest you bring forth fruit met worthy of repentance. You know what those fruits are? It's evidence. Evidence. You know, I believe that's what us, as the old-time Baptists, that's exactly what we still do. Is that in order for one to bring up themselves for church membership, we have to first have evidence of who they are. Now, the fruits of the Spirit, Paul was writing to the church at Galatia. He said that the fruits of the Spirit are peace, it's love, it's joy, and long-suffering. I believe that's what I got when I got saved. Was all that peace, joy, love. You know, the Bible was originally written in the Greek and Hebrew languages. The Old Testament was the Hebrew, and the New Testament was written in Greek. And I believe, as with one of our 18 articles of faith states, I truly believe that the Word of God was inspired by God, written by man. I believe since it was inspired by God, and God's perfect, and God can't tell a lie, then I believe there's no contradiction in the Bible. Now, in the Greek language, the translators caught upon a word, said, baptism. The Greek word baptizo means to fully immerse in water. Now, there's some churches out there who say, well, baptism, I didn't mean to get this far, but just bear with me. But baptism is just a sprinkling, just a little dash of water. You know, if God wanted us to baptize that way, He would have put the Greek word paspalizo in. Paspalizo means to sprinkle. You know, when the translators translated, they didn't find no paspalizo anywhere. You know, I believe us as the people of God that we're doing what is right. And we need to keep it that way. Just because the world is changing, just because the world is going to different areas, does not mean that we have to change. We still have to uphold the same doctrine that's been passed down throughout the years. This doctrine was a doctrine that was preached to me as a 7-year-old boy. And you know, from my childhood, you know, it's precious to me. It don't need to change. There's times our preachers, I've witnessed this myself, our preachers, some of us seem to be, to try to be more politically correct. you know that? There's some preachers who won't mention the word hell in behind the pulpits. You know, I believe a hell was made for the devil and his angels, but if a lost sinner dies in their sins, then they're going to the devil's hell. I truly believe that. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. And some of our preachers won't go as far as to say the word or the name sinner in behind the pulpit either. You know, that's sad. That is sad. That God's own people even tries to sugarcoat the truth. You know, I have respect for people who tell me like it is. I really do. It may hurt my feelings, but you know, they gain my respect. Because if I want somebody to tell me some of what I did wrong or how I should act, I don't want them to chop around the bush. I want them to give it to me as it is. You know, God's Word gives it to us as it is. There's a preacher that I became good friends with when I was a member at Lafayette. He told me one time, he said, the Bible is clearly written in black and white, but us as men put the gray area in there. We put the gray in there. You know, that's true right there. There's times that we want to change things up to where it just sounds good and that won't sound too harsh to the people in the congregation. But you know, the Bible says it, I believe it. The Bible says it, I ought to preach it. Do you know that? I believe the Bible says it, I ought to do my 100% best to present it in that same way. Paul tells us in the book of Acts, he said, I kept back nothing that was profitable. That would be probable to you. You know, there's times that I've kept back some stuff that might have been profitable. You know, that's not how it ought to be. We ought to go out in this world and give the lost souls the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And yet we find, especially our own people, to go out and about in their own pernicious ways. Ways that would be destructive to them. You know, Brother J.R. Mullins, he taught a lesson this past year. You know, it's been in the back of my mind ever since that day. Stepped on my toes throughout the whole 45 minutes or however of his lesson. You know, I'm thankful that there are still people who's willing to step on some toes. We ought to have preachers to go out and step on some toes every now and then. You know, I gave the Church of Hope a message. The Lord made me give them a message this morning about the basics. The basics. And you know, we wander so far from the basics sometimes. We wander so far from God's Word sometimes, what it actually says and what it's actually supposed to mean. But did you know that in order for the church to go about its business, there is no other head except Christ Himself. There is no other foundation except Christ Himself. And the chief cornerstone of the church is none other than Christ Himself. Everything we do, it ought to be about Christ. It ought to be about Him. The Bible tells us there's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. Therefore, there's no other name under heaven whereby we must serve. No other except Jesus Himself. You know, and if we dare sprinkle the truth a little bit, I'm going to state this. God is not only a God of love, but God's a God of wrath. And God, when it comes to His children, chastises us, whips us. You know, if we sprinkle the truth just a little bit, I believe God will whip us. Now, I've met people, and I'm going everywhere I know, just bear with me. But I've met people through high school and in college, and they try to figure out what the whole purpose of life is. I could ask you that question, and I could probably get 100 different answers. But I believe God gives us one answer. And I believe the whole purpose of life is to give God the honor and glory. I believe that's the whole purpose of life. I believe the psalmist David tells us and proclaims himself, "Oh, praise the Lord!" That's what we must do. You know what he also says? He said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Let those who have been forgiven, let those who have been born again, let them say so. But are we doing our job as his people? Are we really doing the will of God? That's the question I think that needs to be asked. Not just to me, and I'm not meaning to point any fingers out. If I should be pointing fingers out at anybody, I should be pointing at me. But I hear so many preachers and so many people say so many times, "What is wrong with the church?" Before we ask that question, we must have to ask first, "What's wrong with me?" It starts with us. It starts in the household. And whenever we get all that straight, then we can ask the question, what is wrong with the church? But we have to reflect on ourselves and on our lives just for a little bit. I'm almost done. Just bear with me. I promise I'll shut up in a minute. But in our daily lives, we should start off, and God lifts up our eyes. We should start off by giving Him the thanks. You know what? We didn't deserve that day. We didn't deserve the air that He's given us. Do you know that? My opinion is I don't deserve any of the blessings He's given me. But we ought to thank Him. When we're eating breakfast or lunch or dinner, whatever it is, before you eat it, give God the thanks. Give God the thanks. Before we go to bed at night, give God the thanks that He allowed you to go through that day. You know, we have to start thanking our Father more than what we have been here lately. There's times that when things go wrong, we try to put the blame on God. Do you know that? Let's look at Jonah. There's times we get mad at God. Let's look at Jonah. God told Jonah to go and warn the people of Nineveh. Jonah, he said no. Jonah didn't like the people of Nineveh. So you know what happened? I believe this was part of God's punishment, and He put him in the belly of the whale. We shouldn't get mad at God when things go wrong, folks. It's just like the people of Israel. Now, I'm paraphrasing what the prophet said. But when things go good, we tend to forget God. But when things go bad, we'll say, "God, why did you allow this to happen to me?" It ought not be that way. It's just like the song. I promise I'm almost done. It's just like the song. The God on the mountain is still God in the valley. He don't change one bit. We talk of faith when we're up on that mountain. But what about in the valley? When everything is put to the test, what about in the valley? Do you still have that same faith as what you did when you're up on that mountain? I believe we should. I believe as His people, we are to try our best to be as faithful to Him as possible. Try our best to stick as close to Him as possible. And as you go about this daily walk of life, Just don't think about what all is wrong, but thank God for all the blessings that He's given you. I know I went to probably 100 different directions tonight.